we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. O God of wonder, as the ancient star rose and guided the Magi, illuminating the place where Jesus was, so now may the light of your Holy Spirit shine in our hearts and minds as the word is read and proclaimed. Guide us again to Christ and direct us in new paths of faithfulness. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses, the story of Epiphany. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, reading verses 1 through 6. You may follow along on page 690 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Listen now for God's word. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So 2 weeks ago, on Christmas Eve, here in the sanctuary, between our 4 and 7 p.m. services, our Moravian star, ordinarily there, fell from the ceiling. I know, because I happened to be right beneath it, and for better or worse, I caught it. The star catcher jokes started quickly thereafter. I could hear someone humming, "Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket." May have been me who was humming that, I don't know. Thankfully, the old damaged star has a replacement, which is already ready and prepared for our celebrations of next year. Now, I didn't make the connection at the time, but falling stars have their place in Scripture, you know. Along with earthquakes and darkness, they signify things not being the way they're supposed to be. Now, don't worry, I don't think that our stars falling signified an apocalyptic event. The bulb in that star, I think, had some sort of electrical short that melted something that shouldn't have melted, when that's certainly not the way that it was supposed to be. But 2.5 millennia ago, at the time of our reading from Isaiah, it would be safe to say that things were not the way that they were supposed to be, and it was a star-falling sort of time. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, just before our reading this morning, the prophet laments, "Justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We wait for light, and lo, there is darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We all growl like bears. Like doves, we moan mournfully. We wait for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us." This third part of Isaiah, from which our reading this morning comes, is set in the years following the Babylonian exile. Now, some of those folks who were sent off to exile have come home, but not all. Those who returned were borne along by Isaiah's witness of comfort and hope that every valley would be lifted up and the mountains in the rough places would be made a plain. But once the people are back in the land, their experience doesn't quite match up to Isaiah's vision. And as Paul Hansen put it, there were ominous signs that the path to national health and prosperity would not be as smooth as Isaiah's vision might have suggested. First attempts to rebuild the temple foundered amidst partisan strife and economic uncertainty. The number of those returning from the exile resembled more a trickle than a mighty stream. And in the midst of poverty and hunger, doubts were beginning to rise about God's power and God's commitment to the promises that God had made to this people. So it's into this crestfallen time that Isaiah offers the words that we read this morning. And his words aren't some Pollyanna pie in the sky, everything's going to be just fine pablum. No, these are the words of someone who knows deeply the suffering of his people, and yet who nevertheless maintains his hope and his trust in God's saving and redemptive power. Isaiah can see that light, even in the darkness, and he calls his people to live as if that light is there for all to see. That's just it. I mean, that's the gift that we need. When the stars are falling around us in the chaos of the world and the pain of our lives, we need that hope and the energy that comes from it, that we might be a means of light in a star-fallen world. Now, our hope isn't in our own ability or progress. Now, it's hope that's rooted in the resilience of God, who continues to show up, to bring healing for our pain and grief, to bring vision that leads us beyond chaos and confusion, to bring merciful salvation in the brokenness of our lives, of those we know and love, the lives of those in the world around us. Darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, Isaiah says, but the Lord will arise upon you. That's his hope. That's our hope in this and every season. Douglas Nelson was once the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in New Haven, Connecticut. He told of attending a performance of Handel's Messiah while he was in Edinburgh. Nelson was particularly moved by the bass soloist, whose singing that night seemed to come up from a well of love and sorrow that was desperately deep. In the newspaper the next day, there was a story about him. It said that a few hours before that performance on the previous night, the bass soloist had gotten news that his son in England had been killed in a crash. The singer decided to go ahead and to take his part in the music that night. And so that bereaved father walked out on the stage and he sang words that he needed to hear more than he needed to sing. These are the words he sang. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Neil Plantinga tells that story about his mentor, Douglas Nelson, but then he goes on to draw from the well of that hopeful message. "My son has died, but the Lord shall arise. My heart is broken, but the Lord shall arise." But then Plantinga goes further. "Everybody in the Middle East has somebody to hate, but the Lord shall arise. Children suffer horribly in the midst of war-torn regions, but the Lord shall arise. The Church of Jesus Christ is in Babylonian captivity, depressed by her sexual abuse scandals, depressed by her divisions about any and everything, but the Lord shall arise." Neil says Isaiah is talking to downtrodden, depressed people of God, which means that he has something to say to us today. He says that dawn is coming. God is going to rise like the sun, and God's glory is going to shine on us. And we who know that this dawn is coming can begin to live in that light even now. So what do we do? Well, we live now in the light of that promised light. We rise and shine. That's what Isaiah said to his people in that time of deep doubt and darkness. Rise and shine. Like the Magi who come to see the newborn Jesus, we bring the gifts of our lives, even as we receive the gifts that God has given us in this child whose birth we celebrate in this season. The Herods of this world, crazed with power, beset with jealousy, they're always going to be around. Even then, especially then, we are called to rise and shine and bear witness to God's redemptive, hope-filled power and presence. Arise, shine, be a means of God's light shining in the world, even if it seems that the stars may be falling from the sky. This world needs people who know the power of God's love and hope in their own lives, and who can witness to that powerful love and hope for those around them whose stars are falling. So to that end, I hope that you all have one of those little yellow stars that you received when you came into worship this morning, an idea suggested by multiple creative colleagues in this church that we love and serve together. Here's what we'd like for you to do with this. I'd like for you to follow this star this year and see the word that is upon it as both a gift and a challenge. Now, first, as a gift. Now here's the thing, there are over 150 different words on these stars, so your word is probably different from the ones of those around you. And that's okay. Your word may be acceptance. That's one of the words. You don't have to raise your hand if it is. But if so, this year, spend some time reflecting on ways that you are accepted by God, by your family, by your friends or church family. Maybe send somebody a note to thank them for making you feel accepted and welcome in some part of your life. Or maybe you got the word singing, and you're not a singer like them. It's okay, fear not. Consider ways that your faith is nurtured by the singing of others. Maybe this would be a great time for you to appreciate the joyful noise that God encourages us in us all. There are no wasted gifts. Part of the wonder of this exercise, especially if you got a word where you're going, I wonder what that means. Part of the wonder is to figure out just what gifts your word might bring to heart or mind. But then, we want you to let your word be a challenge as well. For those people whose word is acceptance, what might you do this year to make somebody else feel accepted? For the one with the word singing, what might you do to enable singing to be a means of grace in somebody else's life? Here's what I hope. If those of us gathered for worship this day take these star words to heart, receiving their gifts, even as we allow them to challenge us to be a means of light and grace and hope in the lives of others, then think of the amount of light that will shine just from simple, ordinary acts of love and kindness and resilience and whatever else the words may be. It may just be that we become like the Magi, offering gifts for Christ's sake so that the light of God's love might shine throughout the world. I encourage you to put your star where you will see it regularly, on a mirror, maybe at your desk, in your car. And then day by day, as you make your way through this year, let your word stir you to arise and shine, and thus deepen the power of God's light and hope in the world. Maybe our New Year's resolution this year might be for us to find ways to be a people who enable the light of God's love to shine just a little brighter in small and ordinary as well as in extraordinary ways. If you have a moment, as we make our way through this year, I hope you'll share some of your star stories with us about ways that your word has encouraged you to faithful action. My word is perseverance, and if you don't do that, I'm coming after you. It's always our hope that this meal that we share this morning will give us strength for the journey ahead, and that today especially, that we may find the one who meets us at the table will guide us ever towards God's most perfect light. Thanks be to God. Amen.